Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished up Philadelphia's WWDB AM 860 Talk. Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia, and I brought in Dan Good, the guy that wrote the book on Playing Through the Paint, Ken Caminiti's story, along with Chandrika Thee, who was bringing her Oklahoma smack to that show. So that's there. This is the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast. Berg smack across the board. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh alongside Smoking Jim Frazier, the godfather in Pittsburgh, too. So we've got everything going on in Pittsburgh, 347-205-9631. Show goes quick in 30 minutes. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Ralph, brother, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. You can reach me on my email at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com. On my Facebook page, on my email channel, or on my YouTube channel, and then you can also reach me on my Facebook page, Sports Corner, Wrestle Talk, and The Way I See It as well. I'm also on Wimkin and Twitter.
Wow, we're tearing it up. As we give it over to you, Smoking Jim, how can people get a hold of you, and how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Hey, I've never been better, Mark. Always excited to talk to you, but they can reach me on Instagram at Smoking Jim Frazier or at Facebook at Jim Frazier.
Well, let me lead this topic out, and I want to lay props to you guys. I think, Jim, you were doing something with the Pittsburgh Pirates Charities or something I saw. Correct me if I'm wrong. The other day you were doing something with them, it looked like.
Yes, sir. You know, every year the Pittsburgh Pirates gives my organization, 100-plus tickets they give out to inner-city kids. And every year we do the Willie Stargell MVP Awards Banquet, and the Pirates are very, very generous in their donations to support the efforts that was started by Willie Stargell and the organization that I'm with back in 1974. So it's the 48th year of the Willie Stargell MVP Banquet.
Wow. And I'll tell you, Willie Stargell was my idol growing up. The other day I was walking around with that black one they wore in 79 with the Gold Pirates, number 8, Stargell in the back, number 8. Thank God it was a cool day here in Los Angeles. If it was any hotter than that, I would have probably baked like an apple pie there. But it was those jerseys back then, man. Oh, my God. I didn't know how they played in St. Louis and some of these cities on that artificial turf with those jerseys. But that's a story for another day. And as I give it over to you, Ralph, this is the topic we're going to start it off here on the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast. A little bird smack with the three of us, Smoking Jim Frazier, you, Ralph Williams, and I, Mark Mancini. The Pirates snapped that big 9-game losing streak that started in Pittsburgh, losing 2 to Detroit, carried over into Atlanta, and then went 3 in St. Louis before the Bucks finally snapped it. You know, I'm an optimist on this. I still think they can, you know, get a wild card berth here. But the thing that stuck out on me, and I'm sure you guys looked at it too, before they won yesterday against St. Louis and Milwaukee, they're 0-6 against the Brewers. They were 1-8, I believe, against the Cardinals. And they finally, got that off their back yesterday. But, you know, a lot of people might point out the last 6 games of the year, it's the Cardinals and Pirates mixing it up in Pittsburgh and stuff. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, if they can stay ahead of the Cubs, if they can stay ahead of the Reds, what they're doing, and try to get in there by, you know, challenging the Giants, who are on the schedule this weekend in Pittsburgh. They're 11-4 against the National League West. Kind of, you know, they haven't played the Phillies yet, so they can kind of challenge them. I think this Pirate team, going into July, August, and September, can roll a spot now. I don't know what your take is on it, Ralph, and then we'll give it over to Smoking Jim.
All right. Well, a couple things here. I've got a statistic that I just got tonight. There are four former Pirate pitchers in the league, in the Major League Baseball right now, that are 7-1, and one is 8-0. The 7-1 pitchers are Joe Musgrove, okay, Jameson Taillon, all right, and then Garrett Cole. The 8-0 pitcher is Tyler Anderson, who's playing for the Dodgers. And they're saying that he's on the list to possibly make the Cy Young if he keeps up his winning. You know, those are four pitchers that the Pirates gave up or traded and are doing better with other clubs. But I just think that, and I made this comment on my Facebook page, if you saw it, we have a new roller coaster in town here, and it's not at Kennywood Park. It's at, you know, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they seem to be going up and down and up and down. And, you know, like Rodney Dangerfield said, my car goes up and down more vertically than it does horizontal, because I have a car. It's always on a lift going up and down, up and down. Well, that's what the Pirates seem to be doing. And, you know, it seems like that's what the situation is. They have, you know, Tarik Brock. I've listened to some of his program or some of his shows on Blog Talk Radio here with you, Mark. And, you know, he says it's growing pains. But I had a guy on my podcast on Tuesday night. His name is Marty Leap from Rumbunter, which is a baseball newspaper that covers the Pirates. And he said he thinks Derek Sheldon is just here to hold the fort down until either we hire Joe Girardi or Joe Madden, because, you know, he's not, he don't think he's a really good manager, because look at how the players are, the infielders are playing, and how, you know, they had too many blunders, errors, striking out, all kinds of different stuff going on here. You know, you got the $80 million man striking out, and, It's not going real well right now. And I don't know what else I can say other than, you know, it's the same old Pirates. And we'll see what they do after the All-Star game.
Well, before I give it over to you, Smoking Jim, you know, I think when Ben Cherington was brought in, he you know, picked up Derek Shelton. And I think they work good together, because I think Cherington goes to him and they kind of work vice versa, so they're communicating. And I think he might be in here for the long haul. I've heard a lot of people compare, you know, just hearing some of these questions coming in, and now a guy's sending something in. Welcome in from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. John says he reminds me of Russell when he managed the Pirates. I don't think so. I think Shelton's been building this. You know, when I'm looking at his track record with, you know, a couple of years ago, and he seems to be progressing. I mean, you know, you got to look at this roster, guys, and as I give it over to you, Jim, this is a young team, man. There was four rookies starting the other day. I mean, they don't have the guns right now to compete with the Padres or the Dodgers, teams like that. And the only way you're going to move up in this thing is you got to get experience, you got to get expertise, you got to take your lumps. And then they're getting ready for it. I think they're 2 years out. I really do. I think they're 2 years out of becoming the Houston Astros. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't make a spot in this thing now. When you look at guys like Madden and Girardi, they're great managers. But those guys had a lot of talent to turn around organizations in previous cities. And you know what? I thought Girardi got a wrong deal. Madden, they didn't have pitching there, but I don't think Girardi and Madden can do anything better than what Shelton's doing, and these kids are buying into a system here. Smoking Jim, what do you take on this? You got Ralph on that side. I'm throwing 2 cents in it. Where do you lie on this?
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad that Brian Reynolds, his bat is starting to wake up a little bit. He's starting to hit. You know, and I'm so happy that the Pirates ended their 8-game losing streak with a 6-4 win over the Cardinals just in time to play the Giants. But it was so disappointing on Monday, Mark, when Mitch Keller pitched his butt off for 5 innings, built up a, you know, 5-run lead, only gave up 2 earned runs, and didn't get the decision. And those are the kind of things that can hurt a young team, because – you and Ralph mentioned a lot of things, but you also I failed to mention that you got to be a little lucky. You know, you got to have a little luck on your side. But I think that it's the right time for the Pittsburgh Pirates to play the Giants, and I'm looking forward to this series. Yeah, you know, I think this team is starting to come around a little bit, and you know, just coming off you know, rough road trip.
Well, Ralph, when you look at it, I mean, granted, I'll give you that. They're only two in double digits against the Brewers and Cardinals. But you know what? When I look at the Brewers, and I was part of a radio show on the other night out of Milwaukee, and let me tell you something. The Brewers, you know, their window of opportunity has been closing here. You know, they kind of remind me of the Washington Nationals, you know, when the Nationals won that World Series. But there was a lot of years where everybody thought the Washington Nationals were going to do something. And you saw, you know, they finally took advantage of it. The Brewers could go like the Cincinnati Reds 2 years ago when this pandemic started. The Reds were world beaters there. They had Bauer, they had guys, and everybody was talking about the Reds. And then all of a sudden they couldn't contain all their guys. They lost them in free agent. They look like a double-A team now. So the Brewers, you know, if you're looking down the line here, the Brewers don't, you know, necessarily know what direction they're going in to a certain extent. The Cardinals have always been consistent. But I like the Pirates. I mean, you know, when you look at where they are, they've got the seventh best minor league system in baseball. You know, they're not going out and they're not going to sign guys that the Dodgers are going to sign or the Padres are going to sign. We know that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you develop those guys like they have a winning record against the Dodgers this year. They've played the Padres tough two straight years now. They've lost a season series, but still – the Padres have been in wars with those guys. It's not like the Padres just rolled into Chicago these past 4 days and rolled the Cubs right out of town. So the Pirates are doing things that are making me think that this team is in the right direction. So, you know, I don't necessarily think you have to change managers and everything here because they've bought into a system. The system's, you know, in place here, and you see where it is. They remind me of kind of like the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox got some young guys going through growing pains, mixed in with a few veterans. You know, they kind of remind me of that team. Ralph, any thought to that?
You know, there is some hope for them, like Smoke and Jim said. You know, and I've always said this, and Smoke and Jim knows it, but sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And, you know, the Pirates might just get lucky. Somebody might, you know, fall apart because, as you mentioned, with injuries. Or somebody might just, you know, have some, you know, a whole, just a complete meltdown. And, you know, so that could happen. And the Pirates could get lucky. You know, we'll see what they do with Milwaukee. You know, they don't have a winning track record with Milwaukee right now. And I said this before, and I say it again as well. They have to beat some of these teams that they can beat, like the Reds. And some of these ones that have, you know, bad records, but worse than them, they have to beat these guys to make up for the losses that are going to come with the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Brewers, because they can't beat those teams consistent. And that's mm-hmm. and that's where, and if the Pirates can beat one of these guys, if they can at least beat one of these teams, Milwaukee, St. Louis, or Chicago, consistently, I'm talking at least that would give them a little bit more confidence, a little bit more notoriety if they could beat one of these three teams consistently. I mean, like sweep them or win a couple series from them this year. That would really give them some confidence because if they can't, Mark, they're going to have to win other games. They're going to have to make up for these losses by trying to win other games against some of these lesser opponents that they just, for some reason, like the Reds, they can't seem to beat them.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And when you look at it, you're absolutely right. They got to put the teams that are below them and beat them consistently to make that move up the ladder here. But, you know, when you play a team in your division, like Tarek was saying, these are heavyweight fights, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, what their records are. We've seen this across the board. You look at, you know, the National League West, the Diamondbacks have played the Dodgers tough this year. You know, the same thing with the Rockies, taking 2 out of 3 in the opening series. So teams get up for you in the division because they know they can make a move on you. Jim, any thought to, you know, the remarkable effort and record the Pirates have against the National League West? They're 11-4, starting a three-game series and seeing the Giants for the first time this year.
I tell you what, you got to love the battling Bucks. And like you said, Mark, you couldn't have said it any better. You know, one time, you know, one of the lineups are playing four rookies. You know, you got to learn how to win in this league. And it takes experience, you know, and all of those things. It takes a little time, and I agree with you. I think we're in for an exciting 2 years as they develop that winning attitude around here and the players mature. So I really like the direction that the team is headed.
Well, talking about a direction the team's going in, Ralph, and you could start this one and start the grassroots fire on that one as well. The Steelers inked Fitzpatrick to a nice deal. Looks like they're getting solidified here for training camps and everything. We're probably a month out with that. This Steeler team is going to be in a battle. The AFC is an SEC, if you tell me. I mean, there's like 10, 11 teams over there that are not going to knock each other out. You might win 10 games and still not have a chance to get in the playoffs. I guess if you're an NFC team, you got to be licking your chops and saying to yourself, thank God we're not in the AFC, because if you look at the NFC, there's five teams, and I can't even find any more than that to really compete for the Super Bowl. So tell us about the Steelers signing of Fitzpatrick. Tell us what we can expect in Pittsburgh this year, and we'll give it over to Jim.
Well, you know, I think that the Steelers are should do well on defense. The only position that really concerns me right now is their defensive line. You know, they just lost Stephon Tuitt to retirement, and I'm still concerned about that part. They need to bring one more body in here, I think, that might be able to help them a little bit. But if not, I think they have at least three starters that are capable of, doing it. Wormsley and Alawu and Cam Hayward. But, you know, I think that the defense should be good this year, because if they're not, then it's a crime, because you have three good defensive minds handling the defense this year, and Mike Tomlin, Brian Flores, and Terrell Austin. So, you know, the defense should be pretty good this year. A lot of people are thinking that our offense isn't going to do any good. I'll tell you what, we got some good young receivers. You know, this will be Najee Harris' second year. We have a little bit of an improved offensive line. Went on and got a few free agents. And we have a different quarterback who has in Mitch Trubisky, who I believe is probably going to be our starter. He seems to have the most enthusiasm, and he seems to be progressing the most of the three quarterbacks right now in this competition. So I'm thinking the Steelers could do okay. But we need to get lucky too. I think Cleveland's going to fall. I think Cincinnati they might be okay. But Baltimore's the team we have to watch out for, because I said this once, I'll say it again. They had eight fourth-round picks. And let me tell you this. Of the fourth-round picks, Mark, that they have, two of them weigh close to 800 pounds, and that's Travis Jones from Connecticut, the nose tackle, and then that Daniel Falala from Minnesota. Contend with them two guys, and that's no joke there. Them two guys are for real. So if I'm the Steelers, Baltimore got beefier, bigger, and we'll see what happens. But I think they could pretty much make the worst that they could do, I think, would be second place in the division. They may even take it this year. They were only a few parts away from last year, Mark.
Good point. And Jim, as I give it over to you, the only thing I got to say is they got to get out of the gate quick. You know, when you look at who they're opening up with, I believe it's in Cincinnati. They come home, they play New England. So, you know, then going right back on the road, and then they come back home and play the Jets. I think it's another road game, and then it's Tampa Bay. So this schedule's, right out of the gate. You know, the Jets ain't going to be a pushover either. I mean, this is a team that's coming up, so you know, you're going to get the AFC East in a hurry, and you're going to get the team that's removed from a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay there with Brady coming back and an arsenal of guys. I think the key in Pittsburgh is you got to get out to a good start.
Well, yeah, you said it very, very well. But I tell you what, the new general manager is worth his weight in gold. Omar Khan, he wouldn't know a football player if he tripped down the street and fell in his lap. But I tell you what, he's a salary cap master. I don't know how in the world you take an experienced football team and you got three guys on your defense, Hayward, Fitzpatrick, and T.J. Watt, and they're all making over, you know, $20 million, and Watt's making close to $30 million. There's not a disgruntled player on the team over a salary. Only one that may be a little upset is Deontay Johnson, you know, because he hasn't got his paycheck. I don't know how Omar Khan does it. He is the, you know, salary cap guru. I never thought they would be able to give, you know, Fitzpatrick that kind of money. But I tell you what, like Ralph said, offensively, I put Chase Claypool and fire move against anybody. They got great size. You know, you can't cover those guys. And I tell you what, Najee Harris is a weapon out of the backfield. And there's a remedy for winning in this league. You run Najee Harris till the wheels come off. I mean, he's up to 245 pounds. He's been doing some squats or he's been doing something because he got them Earl Campbell thighs all of a sudden. I don't know where he got them from, Mark, but everybody's talking about how big his legs are right now. And I tell you what, I would run him. The first six games is going to be tough. The Steelers not going to beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati. I think they open up at Cincinnati. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they can go 3-3, or even play well at 2-4, they may have a shot in the second half of the season. But like you said, they got to get out the gate fast. They got to have a great training camp and run, Najee, run.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. Here's the thing, guys. You know, and I'll give it over to you, Ralph, to stick on this thing. I love Najee a lot. I liked him when he was at Alabama. I just like this. This guy's a humble guy and everything. But you know what? We saw Juju Schuster come out of USC and be a humble guy too. You know, people believe in consistency. If you're consistent with something, they're gonna get behind you. I just don't want Najee to fall off that pedestal that he's built for himself there in Pittsburgh. And start reading headlines here and think, you know, he's the reason. I don't think it'll ever get to that point. But we've seen a lot of guys come through Pittsburgh, rookies and everything. It seems like after the freshman year there, I don't know what happens, but people start to change. Do you see that same thing in Pittsburgh? Am I on to something with this thing?
Well, I hope that the chemistry has changed this year, Mark. I believe that could happen. You know, we have Brian Flores added to the coaching pedigree there. And winning changes everything, too. There were a lot of disappointing losses last year. There was a lot of disappointing losses throughout Mike Tomlin's career. And, you know, a lot of times players fall into that thing that, well, we should have won this game. And, you know, Claudio Rosano always says this. He says, he blamed himself for a game that he thought he lost. And the players all came up to him and said, if I would have played a little bit better, maybe we could have won. You know, it's not all your fault. But, you know, that could be the situation. I'm hoping that, the chemistry is better now. I hope that maybe, we won't have these problems that we're having. Some things have to change, Mark, for this not to go on. It's gone on too much. And, I think it's a little bit of Mike Tomlin letting the players do a few too many things on on their own and things like that. But maybe training camp being at La Trobe this year at St. Vincent College is going to change the whole thing because they don't have a home to go to. They have to go back to a dorm room and stay in a hot dorm room with someone else that they might not know on the team. And it's all about collective, bonding. And now that they're going to be out of camp like that for 2 weeks with each other in the hot heat out there in the grassy fields instead of the luxury of going home from Heinz Field and the South Side for the last two or three seasons that they've done this, so being that, I think that will help the whole situation right there. It just being in camp like that, a traditional training camp, not some makeshift thing at Heinz Field or whatever.
Tom from Bucks County, PA, I guess that's in Philly, basically says, guys, listen to your show, but now we got a new coach in Philly, John Torricella, that's going to give everybody a run for their money. Tony, I'll lay this on you before I give it over to Jim and then Ralph's comments on this as we're winding it down to about 3 minutes left in the show. Torricella's a good coach. But the problem is after that first or second year where he turns the team around, then he's kind of worn out his welcome. Surprised they brought him in there and they didn't bring in Barry Trotz, who was a defensive guru in Nashville, Washington, and New York with the Islanders. Surprised you didn't bring that guy in, but you bring a guy in here that's going to yell and scream and throw the Zamboni probably in the Delaware River. But yeah, he's going to bring toughness to Philly. But I will guarantee, after 2 years there, you'll be looking for a new coach. Jim, any fit with Tony out there in Bucks County, PA, talking about watch out for his Flyers?
Well, that's a rivalry here with the Penguins, and we hate them, and Philadelphia hates us. But getting back to the Steelers real quick, Mark, I know we short on time, but hey, you got to look at the head coach when those kind of things happen. You know, with Chuck Noll and Bill Cowher, that first half inch, they would stop it. My favorite Pittsburgh Steeler of all time was a guy before your time named Roy Jefferson. And he refused to park in the players' parking spot. He wanted to park in the coaches' parking spot, and Chuck Noll got rid of him. Bill Cowher comes in here in the first-round draft choice. Huey Richardson is a prima donna. He got rid of him. Nobody cuts a first-round draft choice. Bill Cowher did. You've got to lay the groundwork as a head coach, and it's just the chemistry in the locker room and the off-the-field problems with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been an issue since 2010, when they let Santonio Holmes go.
Well, you're exactly right. And as you give it over to you, Ralph, for the last comment on it with 2 minutes in the show, the last few years in this country, we've seen a lot of aggression and violence. But the three words that come to mind that I think this country's lost to a certain extent is accountability, communication, and integrity. I don't know what your three words would be, but those three I'll match up with anything. You can comment on that, or you can comment to finish up the Steeler thing and then let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend.
Well, Barry Trost, breaking news before we got on the air, he turned the job down. He didn't want it. He didn't want the Philly job, so he turned it down.
Wow.
So, Mark, there's your answer to your question, okay? So that's why they had to go with Torricella, because Trost turned the job down. But anyway, like you heard what I said about the Steelers earlier, I think there has to be better chemistry, and there has to be better, being that they're going to have training camp this year in Latrobe, I think is going to work for them. But you can get a hold of me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. Also my Facebook page, Twitter, Wimkin, and also my YouTube channel as well.
Well, as I give it over to Smoke and Jim and all the nice pics with those girls in Pittsburgh, do not call Smoke and Jim up for a date, man. He knows a lot of women. That's all that's going on there. As we give it over to you, my good friend, so blessed that you're part of this thing, the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast with Ralph and I. How can people get a hold of you, my good friend?
All right, thanks. It's such an honor to be on with you, Mark and Ralph. Instagram, Smoking Jim Frazier. Facebook, Jim Frazier.
Well, I'll tell you, as we wrap this thing up, guys, for Ralph Williams and Smoking Jim Frazier in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Next week, a little wrestle talk, and I know some of these guys are commenting on shirts they bought. One guy's telling us he bought a Baron Corbin one. It says you want to get lucky. If he walked that into a bar, he might get lucky. I don't know. There's so many shirts out there. Somebody throwing one Sami Zayn forever, and we could talk about that next week.
Gosh.
We're out of time today. Guys, catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports.
Have a great one, everybody.
Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. And as you can hear Ralph in the background, he's laughing, with these shirts that are being – we'll talk about that next week. And maybe Smoking Jim will come back and throw down a smackdown on that Russell show. Till then, have a blessed one. Stay tuned at the top of the hour, live from Indianapolis,
good night, everybody.
The Eat Me
Be
Cooking
safe. Thank
podcast.
You.
Yeah, casserole smack on that one with John, Eli, and Peggy. Till next week, have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.